All right, we are ready to go.
I got mine downstairs. I can put it in my backpack.
We can. We gotta get some extra copies up here. All right. Very good. Welcome, you guys, to Hebrew Club. We are in the middle of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, that series of Hoy oracles. And we're going to finish chapter 2 today. And I don't know if we'll get to chapter 3, any of chapter 3 or not, maybe just the introduction. But you will notice that chapter 3 is this beautiful prayer of Habakkuk that is a response. And I want you to keep in mind when we get there that, remember, earlier in the chapter, Habakkuk was going to listen to what God had to say and then respond to his rebuke. And so it's a very beautiful thing, I think, that happens to Habakkuk from the beginning of the book to chapter 3. But we are on verse 15. All right, so we're going to do that. I think we may have started that one last time, but we'll go back to it again. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in the apparatus today just to get you guys a little familiar with it and see, because several verses here have some significant textual issues, as you will see. All right. So we're going to begin at verse 15. Notice we have a hoy at verse 15 and a hoy at verse 19. And those are the last two, and this chapter is kind of structured along those. So hoy mashke re'ehu mesapeach chamataka ve'af shaker lama'an habidal me'orehem. Hoy, woe, the one who gives to drink. Notice that that's a hifil participle used here more as a substantive. Woe to the one who gives Re'ehu, his companion, to drink. All right. Now, mesapeach, notice that that's a pl participle, supposedly from safach, which means to join or to mix. All right. So, and notice then that the chamateka is a wrath with the second person singular. So I'm really going to translate the whole line. Woe you who give your neighbor to drink. Woe you who mix your wrath. Or some translation will have more, pour out your wrath. Okay. Ve'af, even shaker, to make drunk. All right, so notice that that's a PL infinitive, shakar, to make drunk. And so he's talking once again about those people who, remember, especially the Chaldeans, who so oppress people, pour out their wrath on them over and above what God would have them do. See, so they're on their own kind of thinking that we've seen through this chapter. All right? So, again, woe to the one, to you who gives his neighbor to drink, one who pours out your wrath, even to make drunk. Just to point out the switch in third masculine singular suffix to second, very weird to the English, but we see this and we've seen it all the time in Habakkuk. You see it in poetry. If you go to the book of Deuteronomy, it happens in the prose sections and it happens in the poetry there. So it is a common phenomena here, this switching. All right. Now the next line, in order habit, to look upon me'orehem, in order to look upon their nakedness. Habit is an infinitive construct, hifil. Notice the root behind me'orehem. It's from ur, all right, to be bare, to strip. You add a mem to it, ma'or, naked, or nakedness, all right. So in order to look upon me'orehem, their, and notice that that's kind of a plural ending, their naked parts or something like that, if that's what the plural of the word is implying there. All right. Any questions about verse 15?
Right. Yeah. Exactly what you're
saying
about, the third.
Okay. Notice it says, Mashke, you, woe. So you translate it with this suffix, woe the one who gives his neighbor. Notice it's third masculine suffix. Now you have another participle, the one who pours out Now there's a switch. Your wrath. See, so there's a switch in suffixes there from third to second. All right, and this kind of switching on a number of different levels is—I don't know if it's a mark of style of poetry and prose, but it happens a lot. All right, I probably would. I mean, here, yeah, at least kind of translate it like that. Sometimes it's more awkward than in others. Sometimes you have a switch from singular to plural. Sometimes change in number. Sometimes change in gender too. Yeah, yeah. See. So notice their nakedness becomes plural. See, and so sometimes it's even hard for us to pick it up. You have to really kind of concentrate on these switches. And when you start looking at them, it happens a lot. We're dealing with that in Deuteronomy 32 right now. Those kinds of switches all the time. And unless you're really tuned in on them, you kind of just pass over them, especially the singular to the plural. And you see it, and you say, man, that's happening all the time. And so the semantic, you know, sometimes I think the switch is happening for to tell you, hey, you're coming to the end of a thought, you know, so it's a way of organizing, you know, you have a switch to tell you. Sometimes there may be some rhetorical significance, but it's really hard to always tell. Yeah, okay. Verse 16 now. Savata kalon mikavod, shte gamata vehe arel, tisov aleka kos yamin yahweh vekikalon, al kevodeka. Okay. This means to be satisfied. Okay. So you will be satisfied with kalon, disgrace, more than kavod, more than glory. All right. Or apart from glory. Notice that the kalon is from the root kalal, and I'll come back to that in a second. Shete, imperative. Drink, gam, also you. You also drink. And notice it's referring back to the wrath that he himself has poured out in the previous verse. Okay? And notice the gam ata for emphasis. You also drink, and hey arel. This is a niphal imperative from, notice the root is aral. And aral means to be uncircumcised. All right, here's the niphal. You also drink, and some would suggest show your foreskin. Some translate a little more nicely, be exposed, or, you know, be bare yourself, all right? So notice it's kind of a play on ma'or and, you know, this whole idea of obviously the shame of being exposed, all right? Now notice the footnote. I just want to call your attention to the footnote here in verse 16. The Qumran, notice Qumran and the Septuagint, Aquila, the Syriac, and the Vulgate as well, have a different root. They have hey ra'el instead of hey arel. Notice hey ra'el. Ra'el means to stagger, all right, or to totter, or to teeter totter. And you'll see some translations actually go with the Septuagint. So they'll say, you also drink and be staggered. See? All right, so just beware of that switch. And there is quite a bit of textual evidence for the different reading there. Okay?
What did the text would make you want to go with the nakedness? I mean, I know that's what it means, so that's
right.
What you would want to go with it, but how does that fit at all
into the only way I would say is because at the end of verse 15, in order to look on their nakedness, it's kind of a turnaround. You drink. You also take a drink of this kind of wrath and be naked or be bears, you know, something like that. That's I guess one reason a lot of people like to stick with the text. Okay. No, that's no problem, man. Okay, tisov aleka kos yamin yahweh. Tisov is from the root savav. This is a call imperfect. Notice it's a plain A spelling. It's a call, and it means sabav, remember, it means to turn, and the subject is cup. So the cup of the right hand of Yahweh will turn upon you. Okay? And the kikalon, notice that word, it's a hapax. I love the reduplication here, and some suggest that it's not a good reading, that the reading is doubtful. But notice that the word in verse 16 is kalon. Here you have ki kalon from the root kalal. And again, it means shame or disgrace. So we'll pour over something on Kevodecha, your glory. So notice the cup of the right hand of Yahweh will turn upon you, and shame will turn upon Kevodecha, your glory. So notice Yahweh's talking about the reversal. Babylon is up high now. They're pouring out their wrath in excess. Yahweh's going to pour out wrath on them as well. And so there's going to be this reversal in fortunes terribly for the Chaldeans. All right. Good. Any questions through verse 16? All right. It just gets worse here in 17. Ki chamas levanon yekaseka v'shod behemot yechitan. That word, see. Midme adam v'chamas aretz kirya v'kol yoshve ba. Okay. For the violence of Lebanon. And I think here, notice the relationship. You have a construct form with the genitive. And it's probably to be understood for the violence that was done to Lebanon. Perhaps cutting down the trees, you know, something like that. Yekaseka will cover you. Can anyone see the root of Yekaseka? Kasa. It's a PL from Kasa. All right, Yekaseka, PL, with an energic nun. That's what that dog H is doing in the final cough. So Yekasenka, but the nun is assimilated. Okay. So for the violence of Lebanon will cover you. So again, this reversal, what you did will be done to you. Now here's the hard line, and a lot of people amend, and I'll show you why. And the destruction of the behemot, of animals, okay, yechitan, look at this word. This is from chatat, to be shattered, chatat, and it's a hifil imperfect. It will shatter. Hifil imperfect, third masculine singular. The trouble is you got that on ending, which is grammars like Gazanius, like Bauer, Leander, suggest that this is the third feminine plural suffix, all right, which is a kind of a hard reading. The destruction of the animals will shatter them. See, that makes it hard. Now notice the footnote in 17 B. Okay, quite an extensive footnote. The Qumran reading, notice the Qumran has yichta or something. I don't know how you'd want to put the vowels in there. But they're suggesting that it's corrupt for, notice that the kaf should be in there for the second singular. For the destruction of the animals will shatter you. That's important because notice Septuagint has that from Pata'eo, will, again, startle or terrify you. See also the Vulgate. So they're suggesting Yechiteka, second masculine singular suffix. And most translations actually do that to try to make sense of the line. So it's a difficult line. Some suggest that nun is an energic nun. And that's a possible way to take that as well. Okay, an on rather than an end, because and it lengthens to the A sound because it's in pause. So you have a number of different possibilities. But that word makes it difficult. Okay, does everybody understand that? Any questions about that word? But it is from chatat. That's what seems to, all the witnesses seems to point to, and a hifil of that form. Okay? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I don't understand how that can be from Chatat with Yod after the first root letter. How does that work?
Well, because if you have a, it's like this, Yes from Savav, okay, it would be Yasiv, so you have that infix Yod for the Hifil. So from Chatat, Yachit, and then if the accent moves, Yechitan, that's why you get the Shva under there. Okay, so that yud would be is what helps clue you in that it is a hifil. And there's no hollow chut, I don't think, with a root. Is there, Tom? I don't think so. Okay. Midme adam. because of, notice that this is a construct from Damim, blood, because of the bloodshed of men, and Chamas Eretz, violence to the land. Again, notice how you always have to negotiate the relationship between genitive and construct. All right? City and all the inhabitants in it. This line is a repetition, I don't know if you guys remember, from a little earlier in the chapter under another woe. Okay, so again, the whole line. Because of the violence against Lebanon, or for the violence of Lebanon, or done to Lebanon, will cover you. And the destruction of the animals will shatter you. All right, so the same destruction you brought. Okay? Because of the bloodshed done to men and violence to the land, city, and all the inhabitants in it. Does that make some sense there? Yes?
Is he saying Yahweh's going to use the animals to bring this
down? I think what he's saying is that the people he's referring to, probably Babylon, destroyed the land when they captured it. And so Lebanon, for example, there's a reference in Isaiah to the fact that they cut down the trees. And he's probably referring to, the way that they decimated the herds and the animals. Again, some do think this line doesn't fit. It comes unexpectedly. So what he's saying is that the violence you've done to others is going to be done to you. And notice we're seeing that from verse 15 on. What you've done to others is going to be done to you kind of in spades, on steroids, so to speak. All right, so it's a very sobering, scary, terrifying thing that Yahweh is telling Habakkuk here. Okay, so remember in chapter 1, he talked about how the Chaldeans were so strong and was going to overcome Israel. And Habakkuk says, how can that be just? You are using ones who are more evil to punish the more righteous. And so now Yahweh says destruction is going to come on these people in an even greater measure. So it's like God's wrath has this depth to it that is being poured out. All right. I think that affects how Habakkuk reacts in chapter 3. Okay. Any other questions through 17? Okay. Verse 18. Mahoil pesalki pesalo yotzro. Masekumore shaker kibatach yotzer yitzro alav laasot elilim il mim. Okay, ho'il is a hifil from Ya'al to benefit, to profit, and pesel is the subject. So something like, what use is an idol? Pesel. See, what profit an idol, or what does an idol profit? What good is an idol? Okay. Ki pesalo yotzro. Okay, yotzro is a participle. Yatzar means to form or to shape. So its shaper carved it. Pesalo, that's just a call, perfect, third masculine singular with a third masculine singular suffix. So I'm going to take these keys as kind of focus. Certainly, his maker carved it. It is a maseka, formed image. Maseka, see? It's a maseka, from nasak, to pour out. So it is a formed image and a more shaker, and a teacher of a lie. More is a participle from yara, hifil. Notice he's using a lot of participles as substantives around here through this section. And a lot of poetry, that happens. You see a lot of participles. All right. So, what good is an idol? Certainly, he's expressing the truthfulness of what he's saying. Its maker formed it or engraved it, pesalo. It is a maseka, a formed image, and a teacher of a lie. Okay. Ki batach yotzer yitzro. Okay. And again, the former of his product, the yotzer is a participle. Yetzer is from the same root. It means the form or the product. What he formed, basically. So the one who formed his product trusts Allah in it. All right, now notice this is said kind of sarcastically. You're getting the feeling. Batach, normally the preposition used with batach would be what, do you think? Trusts. bet, in. That's the majority, but there are also a significant number with al, like we have here, and a few times with el as well. All right. So that's why I'm translating. Yes, certainly the one who makes his product trusts in it. La asot. Now I'm going to take this kind of as result. With the result that he makes. Elilim. Notice the word there. Elilim means idols, worthless things. And notice it's kind of a play on Elohim here. He uses it. That happens in other places as well. So that he makes Elilim. See, these idols, these worthless things. Ilmim. This is from the root Aleph Lamed Mem, which means to be mute. So, dumb idols or mute idols. All right, he trusts in them, so that he makes Elilim Ilmim. Again, notice the play on words, and probably said in a scornful way. You know, you trust in these, in this teacher of lies, so that you make these dumb idols.
Is that just an adjective form
in
that last word?
Yes, Ilam. I think it's Elam. Elam is the singular. So it's just an adjective, right? Good. Any questions through 18? All right. Let's go to 19. Here's another hoy. It gets a little easier here. Hoy omer la eitz ha kitza uri le evan dumam hu yora hine hu tafus zahava kesef v'kol ruach ein bekirbo. Hoy, woe to the one who says to a tree, Hakitza, wake up. This is from the root kutz, hifil imperative. All right? Woe to the one who says to the tree, wake up. Notice a nice chiasm. Uri, again, a call imperative from ur. And here this means to, again, to wake up. Okay? So woe to the one who says to a tree, wake up. Rise or stir up to stone of Dumam, silence, to silent stone. It's a really nice line, see? And notice the chiasm tells you that this is kind of one unit of thought. So, hoy omer le'etz hakitza, uri le'evan dumam. He's really laying it on thick here. Okay. Now, hu yora. See the root yora? Again, it's from the, it's a hifil from yara. And it is a hifil participle from yara, to teach. Remember we had mora. I'm sorry, it's a hifil imperfect. And notice we had up in verse 18 the mora. U mora shaker, the teacher of a lie. Here it's the imperfect. Okay, so woe to the one who says to a tree, wake up. Rise to dumb stone or silent stone. He is your teacher? Or he's a teacher? Or he's going to teach you? Maybe that's even better. See, so hu yora, get the force of that. He will teach, and I think it's almost like an exclamation here, because notice he follows it up. Look, hine, he is tafus. This is a call, passive participle, tafas, means tafas means to grasp, to be grasped. So here it's something like he is surrounded by or encased with gold and silver. See, so he's your teacher. Look, he's encased with silver, with gold and silver. But kol ruach, but any breath there is not in his midst. See, but there's no ruach in the midst of him. All right, so notice it's the same kind of indictment that we see in Isaiah, like 40, for example, in that first, you know, part of the second part of the book when Yahweh's comparing himself to idols. Here you have the same kind of rhetoric. Okay? Any questions? All right, we can finish with 20. It's great. Vayahweh behekal kodsho has mipanav kol haaretz. All right, now notice the vav here. I would translate it as a strong contrast. But Yahweh is in the temple of his holiness. But Yahweh is in his holy temple. Now you have this interjection, this exclamatory particle. Has. Be silent. Hush before him. Whole, all earth. See? So he calls out. So this is it's very dramatic here as you're going through. And notice what Yahweh is actually doing to Habakkuk here, who, you know, had the audacity to speak so boldly about God's justice and injustice. And so notice what Yahweh, I think, is doing to Habakkuk. You see him humbling Habakkuk with this kind of talk about the judgment that he's going to bring on the people, you know, in, as these woe oracles kind of roll on and on and on. And if we study them more, you could kind of, I think, see an uptake in the rhetoric of, you know, the wrath kind of keeps coming. And so you have this great line that, you know, what else can you do except huss before him all the earth, see? And now, what becomes of Habakkuk's response? Remember what Habakkuk said in chapter 2? I will stand on my watch and I will see what I will respond to him when he rebukes me. So you kind of get the sense that he's got his own comeback, his own rebuke. Well, it's anything but that in chapter 3, which makes chapter 3 kind of a beautiful climax. And I think that, you know, you can very well, in the experience of the book, read it as a unity and not as just this add-on to the book, you know. And you know, the title, This is a Prayer, even kind of clues you in as to Habakkuk's mood, the change that he's undergone. All right? All right, good. We will continue next week with chapter 3. Have a good week. Thanks, you guys, for coming.